Psalm 67, it's on page 581. And this is a psalm for the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me pray as we look at the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a living and a speaking God. Thank you that you delight to talk to your children. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds this morning as we come to this great psalm of praise. Please would you encourage us about what you're doing around the world. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Nearly 300 years ago or so, a small group of refugees from Eastern Europe arrived in Germany. They were people who were facing significant persecution, and they were homeless and landless. They arrived on the estate of a rich German landowner, and he very graciously and generously allowed them to turn part of his country estate into their new home. They were Christian refugees who were fleeing religious persecution. So they settled on this man's land and built their village and started a new life. But as they did that, they began to quarrel with one another. And within 5 years, they had been divided into a little group of warring factions that were fighting with one another. This wasn't what the landowner had had in mind when he'd sacrificially gave them part of his land. And so he worked hard to try and bring unity to them. And he managed to persuade them to meet together to pray. On the 13th of August in 1727, that community underwent an extraordinary transformation as God's Holy Spirit met with them. And their hearts were turned from their own petty arguments and their own infighting and turned towards God. And one of the consequences of God's work in the lives of that community was that they started to pray. They started to be a people of prayer. They began a prayer meeting in their local church building where they committed to pray for world mission. They were a community at the time of about 300 or so adults. And they committed that at any one time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they would have at least 3 members of their community meeting together in the church building to pray for world mission. So they started that prayer meeting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that always had at least 3 people in attendance. Do you know how long that prayer meeting ran for? It lasted for over 100 years. Over a 100-year prayer meeting. It's an extraordinary story of a group of 300 refugees who couldn't even live peacefully together, who became the Moravian Church that sent out hundreds and hundreds of Christian missionaries to every corner of our world. A group of people who stopped worrying about their own little quarrels and started caring about the things that God is interested in. And they learned the same thing that the psalmist understands in this psalm, in Psalm 67. They learned that God cares about the nations of our world. They learned that God wants people from every corner of planet Earth to sing his praises. But God's concern for the nations of our world is not just something that the Moravians and the writer of this psalm understand in their heads. This is not just something that they've thought about. This is also a truth that has captured their hearts. This is something that they care passionately about and that's changed their lives. And it's my prayer that as we look at this psalm together, that God would do that same work in us, that our great desire as we study Psalm 67 would be to see God's name praised and worshipped by all the nations of the earth. So come with me to this psalm, to Psalm 67. And as you look at the psalm, I want you to think about sandwiches, because this psalm is structured a lot like a sandwich. This is how I make a sandwich. I get two slices of bread. I put butter on the bread. I put some ham in the middle. I sandwich the whole thing together and cut it in half. I'm a very unimaginative sandwich maker. And Psalm 67 is like a sandwich because it's structured in just the same way with those kinds of layers. If you can look at your Bible, you can see that verse 3 and verse 5 are identical. They're a repeat of each other. So the sandwich of Psalm 67 begins with the bread in the outside layers, verse 1 and 2 and verse 6 and 7. Verse 1 and 2, the psalm talks about God blessing us so that his ways are known on earth. If you look down at verse 6 and 7, you'll see that the psalmist used that same language again. Then the next layer in from the bread is the butter, verse 3 and verse 5, which are identical. And all of that then takes our eye to the middle of the psalm, to verse 4, which is the filling in the middle of the sandwich. So as we look at this psalm together, rather than starting at the beginning and working through, I want to look at the filling in the middle of the sandwich first, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, and then we'll move to the outside bits, the bread, verse 1 and 2, and verse 6 and 7. So first of all, look with me at verses 3, 4, and 5, and I've called this section, "Let the Nations Sing." So this is the high point of Psalm 67, the filling in the middle of the sandwich. And it's a prayer that the nations of our world would sing out their praises to our Heavenly Father. Verse 3 and verse 5, the psalmist prays that the peoples would praise God. And it's clear that he has in mind here the foreign nations and not the people of Israel themselves, because of the way he intersperses the words peoples and nations. They keep getting repeated through those verses. So this is what the psalmist is praying. He's praying that the nations of the earth, he's praying that all people everywhere would sing out in praise to his God. So this is about worship. It's about worship. It's about the nations of our world worshipping our God because they delight in him and because they love him. The nations of the world are going to sing out in praise to our God because of who he is and because of all that he's done for us. And that's what the psalmist is longing for in this psalm. He's longing to see the day when people from every corner of our world will worship our God. So if we were to move forward several thousand years, let's be clear about what the psalmist is saying if he were writing in the 21st century. If he was writing today, he'd be saying, "May the people of Saudi Arabia praise only this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the people of Spain or the people of Nepal worship only this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the people of Basingstoke stop worshipping their false idols and worship only this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And that's the psalmist's prayer, because he's convinced that there is only one true God. And he's longing for the day when all the peoples of the world will fall in worship to the one true God. When all the nations of our world will stop worshipping false gods and sing out in praise to the God of the Bible. Now, you don't need me to tell you that that message is incredibly politically incorrect in the culture that we live in. We live in a culture that is grossly offended by any claim to absolute truth. And the idea that the peoples of the world should turn away from their own gods and worship the God of the Bible, how's that viewed? It's viewed, I think, as intolerant and arrogant. And because the world we live in views this message with such hostility, it's easy for us to become defensive and maybe to feel bad about wanting other people to worship our God. Easy for us to feel bad about this, but that is not a trap that the psalmist falls into. In verse 4, he explains why he longs to see the nations of the world worship our God. Look at what he says in verse 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly, and you guide the nations of the earth. So the reason that the psalmist wants the foreign nations to worship our God is because that is the best possible thing for them. Worshipping this God, worshipping the God of the Bible, that is what will make the nations glad. That is what will lead them to singing with joy. Worshipping the God of the Bible and submitting to his rule is not oppressive or domineering or dictatorial. No, not at all. Worshipping the God of the Bible is to live life as life is designed to be lived. So the nations will sing out in joy to God when they worship him. And the reason they'll sing in joy is because our God rules justly and he guides and cares for the nations of the earth. So to be ruled by this God is to be ruled by a God who will always act in perfect justice. So this is a view of God that stands in stark contrast to two popular views of God that are both quite mistaken. One wrong view is the idea that a good God can't judge. And the other wrong view is that a powerful God can't love. So some people like to think of God as a kind of cuddly, nice grandma figure. You know, a nice cuddly grandma who never judges anyone, turns up when you're feeling sad and makes you a nice cup of tea and helps you to feel warm and cozy again. Now friends, that's a very middle-class view of God. It's a middle-class view of God because it ignores the injustice and the violence and the poverty that is the daily reality for most of humanity. We live in a world that is longing for justice. The other wrong view is to think that God is a kind of tyrannical despot, an all-powerful dictator who rules without compassion and crushes people as if they're ants. And Psalm 67 is correcting both of those wrong views of God. And he's affirming to us that the God of the Bible is a good God, a God who rules justly, and a God who guides the nations of the earth. So the psalmist is longing for the day when the nations will bow their knee in worship to our God. It's a future that the psalmist is longing for. But it begs the question, how will that future be realized? How will that future of the nations bowing in worship to our God, how will that be reached? How will the nations of the earth come to worship our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How will the people of Saudi Arabia or Nepal or Spain or Basingstoke, how will they come to know our God? Well, the answer to that question is a very surprising one. And it comes in the outside layers of this psalm in verse 1 and 2 and verse 6 and 7. So let's turn to those outside verses, and I've called this section, Let Your Ways Be Known. Look at verse 1 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Did you see the answer to the question in that verse? How will the nations come to know our God? Well, the answer is that God will bless his chosen people so that through them all people on earth might come to know their God. These are very important verses, and they're built on two Old Testament foundations. Some of the language might sound familiar to you. One foundation is the language of Moses' prayer that he teaches the priests to pray in Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's one foundation for these verses. The other foundation is the story of God's call on Abraham at the beginning of Genesis 12. You remember that story about how God speaks to Abraham and asks him to leave his country, his people, and his father's house. Those three things, his land, his tribe, and his family, give Abraham his identity. They define who he is, and God is going to make Abraham into a new family, make a new nation, and give him a new land. The reason that God is doing all of that for Abraham is so that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God is going to bless Abraham and his descendants so that through them the nations of the world might come to know our God. And what Psalm 67 is doing is taking those promises and turning them into a song of praise. And the psalmist is singing out this song. Please, he sings, will you bless us? Will you be gracious to us? That's not a selfish prayer. It's not a prayer for a better life for him and for his people. No, the psalmist is asking for God's blessing so that through him and his nation, all the families of the earth might know their God. That is the psalmist's song. That's his prayer. In his own lifetime, the psalmist could not possibly have known how this prayer would be answered. He couldn't know how God would fulfill this promise. He didn't know, but we do know. We know that the psalmist's prayer in Psalm 67 has been answered finally and decisively in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the psalmist prays, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. And what do we say? We say, we have seen Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your face shines on us. Thank you, God, that you have shown your face to us, that we have seen you in the person of the Lord Jesus. And through the Lord Jesus, God's ways are now known on earth, and his salvation has been revealed to the nations. The promise to Abraham has been fulfilled. And in verse 6 and 7, the psalmist explains the same idea using the picture of a harvest. Verse 6, the land will yield its harvest. God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Now, he's not here talking about a harvest of wheat or barley or rice or maize. This is a harvest of people. This is a harvest of the nations of our world coming to know our God. So in this psalm, in Psalm 67, the psalmist is longing for the day when God's promises to Abraham will be fulfilled. He's longing to see the day when God will bless Israel in such a way that all the nations of the earth will bow in worship to the God of the Bible. Friends, the psalmist longed for that day, but we live in that day. We live in that day more than any other people in the history of humanity. We live in a day when the nations of the world are glad and sing for joy because of our God. Now, of course, the work of mission is not yet finished. Of course, there is still so much that needs to be done. But nevertheless, we live in a time when more peoples and more nations in our world sing their praises to the Lord Jesus than at any other time in human history. One of the extraordinary privileges that God has given to us as 21st century Christians is that we can look back at 2,000 years of church history. We can see that God has been fulfilling the promises of this psalm. The earth is yielding its harvest. People from the ends of the earth are worshiping our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as I said, of course, there is still very much work to be done. And this psalm is a great encouragement for us as we think about that work of mission. It not only tells our heads about God's work to rescue the nations, this is a psalm that should also grab our hearts and tell us that this is something to be sung about. This is not only a passage of scripture to be explained and taught. Psalm 67 is also a song of praise that we're to sing. So this psalm is not only asking us, do we understand? It's also asking us, do we care? Have our hearts been captured by the great truths of this psalm? For those of us who are Christians here this morning, this is a psalm that is all about us. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, then God has chosen you. He loves you, and he's called you to belong to him. God has poured out his blessing on you in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has called you and blessed you for a reason. As God's children here together this morning, we are his plan. We're his plan to make his ways known on earth. We have been given the extraordinary privilege of seeing God's face in our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been blessed richly. We've been given that blessing so that we might bring the knowledge of God to every corner of our world. So it's my prayer for us this morning that we may be people whose lips and lives sing this psalm, that we would be people who sing the song of Psalm 67, that God's ways would be known on earth, his saving power among all nations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your rich blessing poured out on us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thank you that you've called us and chosen us to belong to you, so that through us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus might come to every corner of our world. And please would you make us men and women whose lives sing the song of this great psalm, that your ways may be known on earth, your saving power to the nations. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.